Good morning. Good morning. Luke chapter 11 this morning is going to be our scripture reading. And we're going to start in verse 1, and it's a scripture we've read many, many times the past several weeks. By the way, our series is called?
Unceasing.
Well done. That was the best so far. The last lesson of the series, you got it. You nailed it. Here we go. Verse 1. One day, Jesus was praying, I love this, in a certain place. It wasn't a random place, it was a certain place. And Jesus is praying, and when he finished, one of his disciples, they must have been standing close enough that they heard him praying, and so when he's done, they said, Lord, it's a great question, teach us to pray. In other words, how do you pray like that? And so Jesus answered the question, and he says, when you pray, you say, Father, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone who sins against us. And lead us not into temptation. So he spent two verses and he told them, this is how you pray. But the next nine verses now, he spends telling them, you need to make sure that you do pray. That's the main thing. Because you can know how to pray, but if you don't pray often, then you're not gaining anything. And so then he says, verse 5, suppose one of you has a friend. And he goes to him at midnight and says, friend, lend me three loaves of bread. But because the friend of mine is on a journey and he's come to me, and I have nothing to set before him. And then one inside answers, don't bother me. The door's already locked, and here's the key. And my children are in bed. I know the importance of that now. I can't get up and give you anything. I tell you, though he will not get up and give him the bread because he's a friend, yet because of the man's persistence, my version says boldness, but I like the word persistence. He will get up and give him all that he needs. And so, based on that story, Jesus says, I say to you, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. To him who seeks, finds. And to him who knocks, the door is. You may be seated. So we're going to continue and, well, we're going to wrap up our series on prayer this morning. And the goal of this series is that we will become unceasing. And so in this section, Jesus has given me the model that I've tried to base our series out of. Two verses, he spends teaching you how to pray. Nine verses, he said why. And so I tried to divide it up similarly for the 4 weeks we've had. Three of the weeks have been on, you need to pray. This is why you should pray. This is what's going on. If you see the lights dimming, it's because Ray is taking care of trying to help you see my PowerPoint. I asked him to do this. It won't be every week. This week, I'm teaching you how to pray. But here's the thing. Here's the thing you have to understand. Let me see if I can get my PowerPoint clicker to work. It might not happen. And if that's the case, you guys are just going to have to keep up with me. Yeah, okay. Did you click that? Give me a thumbs up. Yeah, all right. He did. So this is not working. So I'm going to set it over here so I don't get tempted. There's no right or wrong way to pray. You do what works for you. Now, I need to revise that a little bit. There probably is a wrong way to pray. Okay? But you got to really try hard to pray a wrong way. You got to be asking for something very ungodly in order to mess up your prayer. You're not going to mess up. Okay, and so this morning, I'm going to teach you a little bit of how to pray, but you've got to understand there's no right or wrong way. There's just different ways to pray. And so before we get in and I say anything else, if you have notes, if you're a note taker, get your stuff out to take some notes. If not, and you want some more of this information, because it's going to be pretty heavily information this morning, I'll give you access to this PowerPoint. And I'll also print out any extra notes that you want. I want you to have this material. By the way, I'm not covering everything there is about prayer this morning. It's not possible, okay? Not for one sermon. There's a lot more to this subject than what I'm going to share with you. I pick and choose some things that are special to me. So if I leave out your favorite prayer, I'm not saying anything about Thanksgiving prayers. I love prayers of Thanksgiving. I don't have time to share with you everything about this stuff. So Thanksgiving prayers aren't one of the things I chose, but it's one of the things we need to pray. So I'm just trying to show you. There's a lot more that could be said, but here's what I want to say in the short time that I have. A very common question in religion. How do I pray? What words do I say? Am I asking for the right things? Should I be asking for things? I mean, we have so many questions. And since I've been in ministry, youth ministry and pulpit ministry, I've had so many kids and adults approach and ask that question. Especially after I do a sermon or a lesson on prayer, I get so many people every time, who call or text or come into my office and they say, Nathan, I don't know how to pray. So if you struggle in your prayer life, you're not alone. Because that's kids, and that's also very faithful adults that who are very spiritual, very involved in church, and yet there's something about praying that stumps them, because prayer is different than any other relationship that you have with someone else. It's something very special, very intimate, and very different than the way that we have relationship with other people. Here's what you have to understand. Listen to me. If you're struggling with how to pray, the first thing of prayer that you need to know is that prayer is more than communication. It's communion. Does that make sense? There's a difference between communication and communion, and prayer is more about the relationship with the Lord than it is about the words that are shared with the Lord. Does that make sense? And so prayer is more than just words you speak, and we struggle with this. And the reason we struggle is, it's actually a very innocent reason. It's because in our worship services, we've already had it this morning, we share in public prayer. And it's one of the most special things about our worship service that we are able to do, is we share in public prayer together. But because of our public prayer, we think that that's how our prayer should feel and sound in our own personal life. And that's not necessarily true, because prayer is very personal. It's very intimate. And there are some things, when you have an intimate relationship, when you are married, there are some things that you will talk about and that you will share with your spouse that you will not get up in the pulpit and say to the rest of your church. Now, when you have the most intimate relationship with your Lord, and then you're going to stand in front of an audience and try to share a little piece of that relationship so that others can experience it, there's going to be some things that you say differently in front of others than what you share with God on your own, because your feelings and emotions in prayer and your circumstances are being connected to the mind and truth in God's word and in his heart and in his situation. And so there are some things in your emotions that you might not share with others. And so someone can get up and have the most beautiful and eloquent prayer in front of an audience and yet still struggle in their prayer life on their own. And the same is true vice versa. There are several of you who could not for the life of you stand in front of an audience and share a prayer with eloquent words, but you have some of the most dynamic prayer life of anybody else in here. And so prayer is personal, it's intimate. There's no right or wrong way to do this. Do what works for you. So if you have a different prayer, here's the point. If you have a different prayer style than anything I'm going to share with you this morning, that's okay. I'm not saying for you to change anything. Maybe this is not a lesson that you need particularly, but it's a lesson that so many religious people need. And so we're going to talk about it. So let's talk very practically about prayer. First, no matter how you pray, go ahead and click my PowerPoint. There it comes. You've got to choose and think about your prayer posture. There are different postures in prayer, and we see this from Scripture. Body language is important, isn't it? Alan, you think body language is important with your youth kids? You know what I'm saying? Nah, no big deal. You know, I love it. You know, youth kids, they'll tell you, oh yeah, I'm like super interested. This is the most interesting thing I've ever seen, man. Like, this is so cool. Yeah. And it's just the most disrespectful thing. And I'm going, yeah, you're saying the right words, but your body language is saying something different. Sorry, but I know it's not our teenagers here. I'm not saying it's you guys. It's not. But body language is important. And so you can say something, but my body language can say something different. Now, here's the beautiful thing about prayer. God doesn't test the body language. God tests what? Your heart. And so God knows what you're thinking regardless of how you sit or how you stand. But there are some things that you can say with your posture that you cannot say with words. And so posture is important in prayer. It's probably not something you've thought about much, but it's important. And so here's some of the different postures that we see in Scripture. First one is standing, honoring God. This is a very simple one. I've given some Scripture references. I'm going to try to move through these quick. I have a lot of information. So if you can't read the PowerPoint, I've got a lot of information up there. It's okay. I will send it to you, okay? Just let me know. The next is outstretched arms. Now, this is something that you can't do. By the way, with standing, you're honoring God. That's kind of the concept in the old Christian religion. Back when, in Scripture, as you see them standing, it was a thing of honoring God as they're praying. But when they would hold out their arms or lift holy hands, that was a way of offering to God. It's a way of saying, God, everything I am and all that I have belongs to you. And so just by holding out your hands in your own prayer life, you can have this picture of sacrifice before. You may have never even thought about it. You may have never tried a different posture. I'm going to encourage you, try it. It may help your prayer life in a way that you would never have tried before. And you may fall in love with a new prayer posture. The next is uplifted eyes. This is one that was really tough. Because a lot of people believe that your prayer doesn't count if your eyes aren't closed and your head's not bowed. That's not true, and I've got Scripture to prove it, okay? I'm not just saying it. There's people that get offended and they're like, wait a second, this is the way it should be done because it's the way we've always done it in public prayer. And that, by the way, bowing your head and closing your eyes is a sign of reverence and a sign of respect to God. And so that's a wonderful way to pray. But it's not the only way. Yes, you can pray to God with your eyes open. It's possible. Attention on God. As you pray and you look up to heaven, your attention and your focus is completely on Him. What you are saying with your body language is, God, you have my focus right now. Sitting outside on your porch, on a swing, looking up at the clouds, up at nature, up into the heavens, and praying to God is one of my favorite postures in prayer that I can pray. Some of my most powerful prayers and effective prayers have been with my eyes open, staring into heaven on my own, in my own certain place, like Jesus had. The next prayer posture is kneeling, which shows humility of self, and it's also reverence to God. This is a really interesting prayer posture. It's not one I had ever thought of or participated in until several years ago. Actually, I say several. It was my senior year of high school. Wow. Time is flying. But I'll never forget, I visited a church my senior year of high school. It was another Church of Christ. And they had this thing that they did as a church that was really interesting. They got to their, I mean, they, it was, you know, typical Church of Christ structure of the service, right? You know, your opening prayer and this kind of, and you had your songs and your greeting and announcements were first, and then your opening prayer comes. And so it was very typical. But when they got to that opening prayer, I've got to admit, I did some prayer peeking that morning, because all of a sudden, every man in the service, why it was only men, I don't know. Why they did this, I don't know. I would love to have gotten the story of where this began as their tradition, but every man in the church stepped out into the aisle for every prayer of the service and got down on their knees for the prayer. And at first, I was a little uncomfortable, to be honest, because look, in our tradition, we have a certain way we typically do things, and this was not what I was used to. It was not what I expected. And as I got comfortable with it, I realized this is one of the most beautiful things I had ever seen. And I almost tear up now and could, but I'm going to hold it back. But of a man who was on his, he had a cane. And he was one of the older men of the congregation, and seeing him get down. Now, he only got down on one knee, but seeing him getting down shakily and people helping him. But they helped him get down into the posture because it was so important for him to pray in this way. To show respect to God, reverence to God, and humility of self. They were saying through their body language, it's not about me, it's all about Him. What a beautiful way to pray. The next prayer posture I have is... I'm sorry, I skipped a few things. We're trying to rush through here. I had a couple of quotes I wanted to read. William R. Newell says, kneeling is a good way to pray because it's uncomfortable. Daniel often prayed on his knees. Jim Elliot said, God is still on His throne and we're still His footstool, and there's only a knee's distance in between. And so he also said, the saint who advances on his knees never retreats. I love that. And so try this. If you're struggling with your prayer life, if you've never tried a different posture, maybe try your knees. It will bless you. The next and final posture is to prostrate yourself. You'll see this in Scripture. That's a weird word. You may have never heard it before. It's the idea of fully laying down on the ground. The way that they would do it in Scripture, if you look up these Scriptures, I think Genesis 17:3 is, he fell down on his face and prayed. And so you'll see that a lot in Scripture where they fall down and their face to the ground, they pray. They are prostrate before God. And this is an idea of submission to God. How many of you have dogs? How many of you have dog people? Good, you're all going to heaven. Sorry, cat folk, it's questionable. No, it's not. I'm kidding. And so my dog, I have two dogs. One is awesome. One is not so awesome, but still really sweet. And so the awesome one is a Yorkie. His name is Pippin, and I love him. And he's been with me since early high school. He stumbled into my house. What a beautiful story it is. And he's just a great dog. He came potty trained, so that was beautiful. Pippin loves to have his belly rubbed. And I found this out on the day that he walked up to my feet. And I'd been petting him and things, and he walked back up to my feet, and he just rolled over on his back, and his belly's up. And he's just, all his limbs are stretched out everywhere. And I mean, he's just perfect, you know, he's just like, he's saying, I want you to pet me right here. And so then I rub his belly, you know, and he loves it. And so now, for years, he's come up to me, and he'll just fall on his back and put his belly up. But I read something that was really interesting. When a dog is on their back and their belly is up, it's a sign of pure submission to their owner. And it's also a sign that they trust you and depend on you completely, because that is their most vulnerable spot. And so the same thing is true for when we prostrate ourselves, as you lay before the Lord completely. This is that moment where you're saying, God, I submit to you, I trust you, and I depend on you for everything. It's a beautiful way to pray. All right, so go ahead and hit my next point. So first you choose a prayer posture, because there's several different ways to pray, but there's also different ways to stand or lift hands as you pray. So here are my favorite prayer styles: intercessory prayer, click through these, breath prayer, contemplative prayer, keep clicking, there's a few more, I'll tell you when, praying scripture, keep going, praying song, prayer walking, and prayer partners. Those are the ones that I've chosen to go through. Alan had given me a book that I borrowed I've gotten a lot of the material from. It's an awesome book to read. I don't remember what it's called. The Spiritual Disciplines Handbook, I think. It's a great book, and so I recommend it if you're wanting more information on different styles to pray. I chose some of the ones I really like from that book and some other things that I've done before, too. That's where this comes from. We can get you more information if you need it. So let's start and talk about the first one. Click my PowerPoint, intercessory prayer. Click again. This is just a quote from Brian C. Taylor. It says, to intercede for another means that in our prayer we stand between or next to them and God. Intercessory prayer is probably the prayer that you're most familiar with. Intercessory prayer is asking God for anything. It is asking God to intercede. And so this is the prayer that you probably pray most and feel most guilty about. And I want to wipe away the guilt. Because you should not feel guilty to ask God for things, because God tells you, ask me. And he wants you to ask not just for your needs. He wants you to ask for your desires as well. Now, the Holy Spirit will intercede on your behalf, and he will change your prayer to what you really need in between you and it getting to the Father, okay? And so you don't have to worry that you're going to ask for something that you shouldn't have. God knows what you need, and he's not going to give you what you don't need, and he's going to give you what you do. But he wants a relationship with you. You know, when you ask your kids, what do you want for Christmas? And they give you a Christmas list. There are some things that they ask for that are absolutely hilarious and laughable, because there's no way I could get it. I want an elephant. That was on my list for many years, so I can say that. I wanted an elephant. Mom, my mom's here this morning. Mom, you never gave me an elephant, and I don't know why. It was on there for years. And I finally took it off because I figured out she's not going to give it to me. Why? Because it's not what I need. It's not realistic. It's not going to help me. God can do the same thing, but is it not a building moment and it has helped our relationship because I asked for what I want? Is God upset? Is my mom upset that I asked for an elephant? I mean, maybe, I don't know, but I'm assuming no. I'm assuming that was okay and it was just funny as a kid, right? Same thing with God. It's not going to hurt your relationship because you will ask for the right things. Now, as you spiritually mature, your requests will begin to change. And you will begin to learn what you should ask for. But as you have just stepped into Christ or just stepped into your prayer life, you're going to ask for wrong things. And that's okay. It's okay. You will continue to grow. And so you're asking God for His strength, asking God for His help. We're asking God for our desires. Luke 11 and verse 9 that we just read, ask and you shall receive. And He gave you this illustration. He said, how often should you ask? It's like the guy that just keeps on knocking. Just keep on knocking. And you will receive. I love James chapter 4 and verses 2 through 3. You have not because you didn't ask me. I heard one time that heaven is filled with different rooms. This is a metaphor, obviously. But heaven's going to be filled with different rooms. And there's one particular room that's going to surprise us all. Because you'll walk into this room in heaven and there's going to be a bunch of gifts just laying over the ground, big, huge boxes wrapped in bows. And some are just ginormous, and some are those little small gifts, you know, when you're at Christmas, and you see the little small ones. I've learned over the years, go for the small ones, because those are usually the good ones, right? The big ones are usually not as good, okay, for whatever reason. And so heaven's room is just wrapped in all of these gifts. And there are names on these gifts in these boxes as you approach them. And some of the names have your name on them. But then they also have something written on them that says, never delivered to earth because never requested from earth. There are things that will not be received this side of heaven because we simply did not ask. That's what James is telling us. You have not because you ask not. That implies there are things you could have had that you don't have because you didn't pray. Now, the motivation for prayer shouldn't be because we'll get a bunch of stuff, right? But at the same time, there are blessings from heaven that we do not receive because we didn't ask. So, the desire of this prayer, click my screen, is to turn my concerns and my worries into prayer. I love this. I'm concerned about someone's health. I'm concerned about these things. And so I'm going to pray about it. I actually had someone, after I taught a lesson on prayer once, come up and tell me that it's wrong and sinful for me to ask for people to be forgiven. I mean, not forgive. I'm sorry. For them to be healed. And I just think that that's crazy. When you read Scripture, it's very clear. There was many, many times where the elders would lay on hands and pray for healing. They would pray for God to come and to intercede. And so healing for concerns, worries in life, we pray and we ask God to intercede. Click my screen. My encouragement with asking God for things, start with thanksgiving. Okay? And so if I'm about to ask God for a bunch of things, I want to start with thanksgiving. And here's why. Number one, because it reminds me of what I'm certain of when life is uncertain. Because here's the thing. Usually when I'm asking God for something, it's because I'm hurting in some way. It's because I don't see God working in some way. It's because I am hoping God will start moving where it feels like God has not been moving. Oftentimes, you may approach God in your intercessory prayer with anger, with sadness, with sorrow, with guilt, with shame. And so you're going to ask Him for something. It's best to start with thanksgiving and say, God, You are the keeper of all promises. Thank You for the promises You've given me in Scripture. Thank You for being a God who is so in control. And right now, I'm going to come to You, God, and I'm going to ask You to pray for my nation because it seems so out of control. But what I've done before I've asked for help is remind myself of who God is, that He has the power to do what I'm about to do. Start with thanksgiving. Don't be scared to ask big. Next one, don't be scared to ask small. Okay? I'm not going to jump to what I want to say. I'm going to move on. Don't be scared to ask big. Don't be scared to ask small. God wants all your prayers. And I am going to say it. I'll just say it like this. This was a story I heard one time. I'm going to shorten it down to just say basically this. Everything you pray to God is small. There is no big with God. And so anytime you ask God for anything, you're asking him to do something small. Because God is so enormous, there is nothing small for him. And so the biggest thing in your life, I just feel like it's crazy for me to ask God to do this and to do this specifically in this way and for this to happen. I just can't, because that's too big of an ask. I need to be more general. No, that's small to God. And it's okay to pray. All right, next slide. Breath prayer. We're going to try to move a little quicker through some of these. Breath prayer. My quote is from Brother Lawrence. Think often on God, by day, by night, in your busyness, and even in your diversions. He is always near you, and he's with you. Leave him not alone. The desire, click it again, is to pray a simple yet intimate prayer of heartfelt desire before God. Click one more time. Let me go ahead and give you the definition. This is a strange prayer. It's one that I've been praying more recently. I found out and learned about breath prayer recently. It's not something I had ever heard of before, and it has been what I have been focused on for the past couple of weeks, and it has been an awesome experience for me. I'm just telling you. So if you haven't tried this before, you need to try this. The definition is this. Breath prayer is a form of contemplative prayer that is linked to the rhythms of your breathing. Click again. You breathe in and you call on a biblical name of God. And then as you breathe out, you call on a simple desire of him. So here's the point of breath prayer. Breathing is unconscious. How many of you just thought to take that last breath? You didn't, right? You just did. Because breathing is unconscious. And so what you're saying through breath prayer is that just as I can't survive on one breath alone, nor can I survive on one moment of God alone. I need him all the time. He is in me. He holds all things together. God is sovereign. He is powerful. And I need him just as much as I need oxygen in my life. It is also a way, centuries earlier, religious people started breath prayer as a way to fulfill the command to pray without ceasing. Our series is Unceasing. This was an attempt to pray that way, and I think it's a pretty awesome way to do that. Here's the deal. Sometimes, oh, by the way, how many of you in the world, don't raise your hands, please, but how many of you have said the thing that I have said a lot? Well, when I hear Christian music today, it seems very repetitive. Sometimes it feels like they say the same thing over and over again. I've used that complaint so many times, but I've learned to start to love repeating phrases like that. And breath prayer has been a reason for that. Because breath prayer is repeating the same short phrase over and over again, but it has blessed my soul. I can't tell you. I can't describe to you. You need to see it. And so it's changed the way I see that. And breath prayer is just an awesome, awesome way to pray. Depth, not length, is important. Okay? So this is not saying a lot of words, but what you are saying is very deep. That's why I love it. Do you remember the Gettysburg Address? You remember that? And it's Abraham Lincoln. You had Edward Everett, and he was supposed to give this dedication speech, and he was supposed to get up, and he was supposed to be the elaborate speaker, the wonderful speaker. And he got up, and he spoke eloquently for an hour and 57 minutes. And then Abraham Lincoln was told, you just need to get up and just say a couple of positive words. Just find something to say, because really, Edward Everett is supposed to give the big speech. You just need to say a couple of things. They just want to hear a few words from you. And so Abraham Lincoln stood to his feet and began what we know today as the Gettysburg Address. And one of the most famous speeches in all of history, and it was 2 minutes, and he was finished. And the words are still remembered today. Actually, Lincoln returned to his seat after the Gettysburg Address, and a young, his name was John Young, of the Philadelphia Press, was sitting next to him, and he turned and looked at Abraham Lincoln and said, is that it? And Abraham Lincoln said, yes, that's all. Listen, never underestimate the power that a few minutes and a few uneloquent words can do when you're praying to God. Let me give you some examples of what these look like so that you can understand. This is the one that I've been praying. I get stressed and I get worried, especially when I have a lot of things on my schedule. I can get overwhelmed. And I've been very, very busy lately, and I'm not proud of that busyness. I've got to find a way to slow down. So this has been the one I've been praying. When I keep telling you, it's been powerful for me. This is what I pray. You breathe in. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. And you just breathe that in over and over again. Over and over again. And then throughout the day, as you're going throughout the day, you find moments to just breathe in and breathe out that simple prayer. And it has blessed my soul. Here's some other ones. Jesus, breathe in, breathe out, have mercy on me. Do another one. This is the one Avery has chosen and has been praying for the past few weeks. God of all peace, breathe in. You breathe out, guard my heart. There's a few others. Abba, I belong to you. Holy One, keep me pure. There are so many of these. There are many of them in Scripture. Look through Scripture and you'll see so many of these are statements that are prayed in Scripture. All right, next, contemplative prayer. My quote, go ahead and click it. Go ahead and click twice, actually. That's good. Prayer is not primarily saying words or thinking thoughts. It is rather a stance. It is a way of living in God's presence. I love that from Richard. Desire of this prayer is to develop an open relationship with God that enables me to come to Him just as I am. Again, I can't tell you how many times I've had people come up and say, Nathan, I don't know what to say. I find my alone time. They probably have a prayer journal with them, but they don't know what to write or they don't know what to pray, and they just kind of sit there and they say, I don't know. And how many of you have encountered people like that and your response is the same as mine? It's just like having a conversation. There's no right thing to say. Just talk to Him. And they say, about what? And you go, well, about anything. Like, what are you thinking about? And so here's what I've learned. That sometimes works for people. Because if you're the one that's telling somebody else, just talk to Him. It probably works for you. But there are some people that's just too general for them. And they don't even know what to do with that. And so this is a way that if you struggle with praying the right words, this is the prayer for you. Because it's the wordless prayer. You heard me right. You can pray without words because prayer is not simply communication. What did we say at the beginning? Prayer is communion. And contemplative prayer is the wordless prayer. Let me tell you something. Having a newborn is exhausting. And Avery and I can be overwhelmed at times with the screaming of a beautiful, perfect baby boy. And so there are times, it happens, believe it or not, where he goes to sleep. And those are beautiful times. And there are some times where Jude Man goes to sleep. And Avery and I will come out of the room. We usually tiptoe out. We're like, oh, maybe he'll stay down. And we go and find our place on the couch and just sit there. And we just stare at nothing. And we don't say anything. We're boring. And it is some of the most wonderful times that we experience. Just sitting together doing nothing. I love it. Because it's just peaceful and it's quiet. You don't have to have words to have a wonderful relationship with someone. And the same is true with our God. And so contemplative prayer is an awesome example. Look at Psalm 131. Go ahead and click my PowerPoint. Psalm 131. I'm going to read it while you're probably turning there because of time's sake. My heart is not proud, O Lord. My eyes are not haughty. I do not concern myself with great matters or things too wonderful for me. Listen to this. But I have stilled and quieted my soul like a weaned child with its mother. Like a weaned child is my soul within me. O Israel, put your hope in the Lord both now and forevermore. And so this is a wonderful metaphor to this kind of prayer. Go back to one slide, please. And so for contemplative prayer, oh, click through, get it all back on there. Right. One more. There, that's good. And so Psalm 131 gives this perfect metaphor for contemplative prayer, the wordless prayer. If a mother is holding a child and that child comes to mom, that child is typically searching for something, right? I'm hungry. I need some milk, mama. I need some food. And so they are searching for something. But a weaned child is no longer searching for the food from mother. And he says that his soul is like a weaned child. in his father's arms, a weaned child in the Lord's arms. And that's what contemplative prayer is. I'm not here seeking anything. I'm not here to ask you to do something. I'm not even here to praise you and thank you, although you are so worthy. I am here to just sit in your arms and to be with you. Not to say anything. I'm not bringing any information to the Lord. The Lord already knows everything. He doesn't need me to tell him who's sick in my life or what's going on in my life. It's just a child loving to be with his mother so much, he just wants to come and sit in her arms, to look into her eyes, and to just be with him. And if God wants to say something to me, then God, I start this prayer by saying, Lord, here I am. And then I don't say anything else. Here I am. And then I'm just going to calm and quiet my soul in the presence of the Lord. And if the Lord wants to speak things to your heart, if the Lord wants to show you or remind you of a scripture, whatever the Lord wants to do, he can do that. But I'm just here to be in your presence. And that's a beautiful way to pray. You don't have to have words. Contemplative prayer. Next is praying scripture. Click the PowerPoint 3 times down to the definition. There you go. When you're struggling, doubtful, fearful, or feel that your foundation is crumbling, all around you, run to the truth of God's word in prayer. The desire is to allow God to shape my prayer life through the words of Scripture. Obviously, the definition is praying Scripture allows God to direct the content of your prayer, and it opens the heart to praying particular prayers, psalms, teachings, and hopes found in the Bible. Here's the deal. Praying Scripture is really cool. We've actually had a few members who have done this recently, and I don't remember who both were. I remember Rick Hodges, you came up and gave the prayer of praise recently, and you read from a psalm, and his prayer was a psalm, and it's one of the most beautiful prayers that you can pray. Because it's not us doing the talking. It's a way to hear from the Lord as we pray. And so rather than me doing the talking, I'm listening to God talk to me, literally, through the words of Scripture. There's not a certain people, when they start praying Scripture, they go, well, I don't know what to pray. If that's you, start with Psalms. It is a human book of prayer. And so pray through the Psalms. Pray through your favorite Scriptures. Read something and then pray. You're not reading for more information. You're reading with the purpose of saying, God, help me apply this in my life. Help me to become this. Help me to live this. Praying Scripture is an amazing way to pray. Actually, in the early centuries of the church, believers were taught to pray the Scriptures. That's how they were taught. And since the Bible is divinely inspired, they believed that the Scripture they prayed would connect them deeply to the mind and to the heart of God. And also, as they would pray the Scripture, what happens when you pray the same thing and say the same phrase over and over again? You memorize it. And so they would become so familiar with Scripture because they were praying it that then they could bring those Scriptures forefront in any situation in their lives, and they could pray the words of God whenever they desired because they had prayed Scripture so much they knew it by heart. And so what an awesome thing. There are several practical ways to do this. There's some of you in here, you're the sticky note person, right? You have sticky notes all over your bathroom. You know, you walk into your bathroom and it just looks like a whiteboard with sticky notes everywhere. You know, that's you. Avery likes to have a few sticky notes here or there. I love sticky notes. I've got one in my office right now. I've been praying. So if you like that, that's a great way to pray Scripture. There's a verse right there. When I go to the bathroom to brush my teeth, there's a Scripture right there that I can pray. So very practical way. Here's another way. Click my screen. You can substitute your name in for personal pronouns. I've got one of my favorites to do this with. Click through. For you created, go ahead and get all the way through it. Sorry, I should have done that. There you go. For you created, instead of my, you put your name in. Nathan's inmost being. And you knit and you put your name in each of the blanks. And it's a very personal way to pray this prayer and to pray Scripture. Substitute your name in for those places, and it will bless you. And don't just run through it and just say, well, I read it, and it took 3 minutes, you know, 3 seconds. Spend several minutes on this. Spend 5-10 minutes slowly praying through that and really knowing what it means when it's you create me. What does that mean for me? And pray through it. It's a beautiful, beautiful way to pray. Prayer and songs. Next PowerPoint. Click it twice. Singing allowed me to express myself in ways that I wouldn't be able to do otherwise. That was from Josh Turner. And so I know Josh Turner is no theologian here, but I thought that was an excellent, excellent quote. And so I went ahead and put it in because it's true. There are some people in here that would agree wholeheartedly with that statement. Here's the thing about prayer. For some people, this works. For some people, it won't work. But for some of you, you will do your best praying while you sing. And that's okay. That's a great way to pray to God. And so I encourage you to do that, because there are some things that some of you can say in song that you might not be able to say with words. And that's great. That's not a problem. Josh Turner would agree with you. The desire is to make God the tune of my heart and my soul. Listen, there's so many songs, by the way, in our hymn book. Pick up a song book at some point and flip through. There's so many songs that we sing that are prayers to God. Majority of the songs that we sing, I would say, are prayers to God. I wrote a few down. Listen to Our Hearts. I love that. You know, I love that song. Thank You, Lord. I just want to be where You are. My only hope is You. There's so many, and they're all just, that's what they are. They are prayers that we put music to. And so sing them. But don't sing them seeing how good you can sound. Sing them because they're prayer and building relationship with the Lord. Click again. Oh, yeah, I just said that. All right, next. Go ahead. Y'all see why I'm not a PowerPoint person often, right? I get too antsy for PowerPoint. All right, walking with God down the avenue of prayer. Oh, this is for prayer walking. We acquire something of His likeness, and unconsciously we become witnesses to others of His beauty and grace. I love that. Listen, some people, they just feel restless when they pray. Have you ever had somebody that says, I just can't sit there that long. I got to move. Some people do their best praying when they're walking. And that's great. So don't feel guilty if you can't sit still. You know, I want to have a certain place, but I just can't sit there in the same place for an hour. Well, it's okay. Find a prayer route that works for you. Find a walk around your neighborhood that works for you. I know people in our congregation that take laps around the church often. It's a great time to pray. Find a time that works for you. Prayer, God still hears your prayer when you're walking. Believe it or not. Actually, God heard Jonah's prayer, and he was under the sea. Remember that? And about 5 seconds before, he threw himself into the sea because he wanted to kill himself because he didn't want to do what God said. He was angry at God. That's pretty cringy, isn't it? And yet, God still heard his prayer at the bottom of an ocean when he was most angry with God. And yet, Jonah offers a prayer. He couldn't speak. I mean, it would have sounded horrible. And yet, God heard him. So God can hear you while you're walking. And let's see. Yeah, definition. Praying in the very places that we expect God to bring forth His answers. This is some of the best praying I've ever done, is prayer walking. Actually, you don't know this, but I'll tell you today, your staff has all prayed over our entire church. And this happened, I don't remember, when was that? I mean, that was way before COVID. You don't have to worry that we touched everything during COVID, okay? But we went around and laid our hands over every seat, every pew in this room, over the pulpit, the podium. We laid our hands over everything, every building, the annex, the pantry, everything, and prayed that God would bless the space, would bless the people in those places, would bless the classes in those places, would bless the children in those places, would bless the youth group in those places, would bless our offices and the people we encounter. I mean, every place, our information booth, we laid our hands over the entire church area. All for one, instead of meeting and having a staff meeting, we had a prayer walk. And it was, you guys, wasn't it an awesome time of prayer? Because prayer walking is some of the most special things you can do. I remember mission trips that I've taken with people. We were working with an orphanage in the Dominican Republic, and they needed a new space. And there was some property that they had that they were looking at, but it was too expensive. And so I remember that we all gathered together at that property, those of us on that mission trip, and we walked around the entire property and spread out all over it and prayed that God, if it's Your will, give us this property, make this happen. We even built a little, not mezuzah, Ebenezer there. You know, the Ebenezers in Scripture where they stack the stones. You know, somebody, actually what happened is somebody picked up a few stones and started to place them somewhere, and everybody else said, oh, that's a cool idea. Let's do that. And so we did. We all started picking up stones, and we built our own little Ebenezer, and we prayed over that entire property. And through that prayer walk, God blessed. I believe that's the prayer He answered to give them the property. What an awesome story. Prayer walking is awesome. Last is this. Prayer partners, thanks for being patient. I know this is a lot of information, and some of you can't even see that PowerPoint. And you're going to let me know. You'll tell me, Nathan, I couldn't see a thing. Thank you for being patient. And I will send you the information. Here's the click it three times. Yeah, you got it. The family that prays together stays together. I love that. I think that's true for our church family as well. The family that prays together stays together. The desire is to grow in my prayer life, not just with the Lord, but in my prayer life with other people. Some of you struggle in prayer, and you don't know what to say, you don't know how to pray, and even maybe you've tried all those other types of prayer, and you still just want somebody else to pray with you. Some people, just like they pray best when singing or walking, some people pray best when they have someone else. And it's not standing in a pulpit and saying a prayer, which isn't a great way to pray, but it's having that one or two people that you can be honest and open with and intimate with and share in a time of prayer with. And so I really highly encourage you to find that person in our church. Prayer partners agree to support one another in prayer on their own and together. So maybe you have somebody that will support you to pray, and y'all talk about your prayer time that you had. Hey, we're going to take 30 minutes three times a week and pray. And at the end of the week, we're going to call each other and talk about how our prayer time went. And so it's really more like an accountability partner, but I don't like that for prayer. I think prayer partner sounds better. But you can also just get together and pray. And they engage in regular and consistent times of shared intercession to God. When you get together and you don't know what to pray, I put together this old acronym you've probably heard before. Click my next screen. Hopefully it all pops up. No, it doesn't. Click through. Sorry. It's an acronym. It's ACTS is what it stands for. You know, A is adoration of God. So you start with God. You are holy. You are righteous. You are the Almighty Father. And so you are praising God of his character, his plans, and his purposes. C is for confession. Anything you have to confess, you move on to next. Then you thank God. And then you are asking for him to help your world, your supplication. God, please be in our world. Please be in our nation. Please be in our families. Please be in our church, whatever it is. And so that's a way that you can follow a flow of a prayer out loud if you don't know what to do. So that is the end of the information that I have. I know it's like sitting in front of a fire hydrant trying to take a drink. I get it. Thank you for being patient. I wanted to give some very practical things. I'm a very applicable guy. I love to talk about why you should pray. And here's the thing I want to end with of this series is saying, you can have all the right ways to pray, but prayer is successful only when you do it. And so get down on your knees and start to pray. And listen, here's the deal with prayer partners. I wanted to say this too. You've got ministers and you've got elders and you've got a church family for a reason. And so if you are struggling in your prayer life, don't struggle alone. We're here for a reason. Come to our offices. Please come pray with us. We would love that. We would love nothing more than to pray with you. Call your elders. Call your church family. Find yourself someone to pray with. And right now is a time we never want to leave a sermon without a moment to offer you that chance to pray, not just with one or two people, but to pray together with an entire church family, calling on God's name. And so we're going to offer an invitation. If you have something that you want us to pray for you about, then come sit on this front row during this next song, and we'll pray for you in front of the whole church family. Whatever we can do, won't you come while together we stand and sing.